Right, good afternoon. It is 123 with Mike, Phoenix 98 FM. I welcome my first guest this afternoon, John Raymond. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, I'm fine. I'm not going to ask you how your feet are, because I'm sure that you've recovered, but you got to a point in your life where you made a sort of life-changing decision, didn't you? Let's start at the very beginning. You've walked around the whole coast of Great Britain.
That's right.
Why? What possessed you?
Lots of reasons, really. I've always thought about it because having lived in this area all my life, you hear things like the weather forecast and you hear about Ardna Merchant Point and places like that.
Yeah.
You think, well, sounds a nice place to go. And always wondered, what are the people really like in Wales and Scotland? How remote is it really? And wanted to challenge a lot of misconceptions I might have. But also I got the opportunity to do it particularly. I was a lecturer and I was given the offer of retirement. You might call it early retirement or redundancy,
or they called it
severance, sort of chopping my arm off, I thought. But it was actually, they gave me the money to finance it. So it meant that I could pay for myself and walk around the country. And I wanted to also raise money and awareness for Parkinson's, which my father had suffered from Parkinson's disease. So I was very keen to sort of raise some money and awareness for that.
Okay, sounds like a life-changing event to me because, reading your first four or five poems, you were very angry about your redundancy and about the end of your career, and it took you to Dover to get out of your system. Is that fair to say?
It's strange, really, because I guess I wasn't really that angry, and it did give me this opportunity, and I knew it was a great opportunity to change my life. But I think if you have anything like that, it does tend to hit you a bit, and there's one of the poems I could sort of read an extract from.
Yeah, Barmies, yeah.
If I can find it.
I must at this instant just say that the book you've written is not I did this, then I went there, and then I did this, and I took that, and etc. This is a book of, you've written this in poetry form, haven't you? And perhaps, why did you do that? Was that a good way, did you feel, to get your message across?
It was. I think it was because I didn't want this to be just another one of those books where it's, Tuesday morning I got up, I had eggs on toast, then I walked for 12 miles.
Yeah.
And I did. So I thought that would be a nice way of doing it as sort of little anecdotes and situations and things that arrived and so on. The poetry side, it just sort of seemed to happen. I've always been interested in writing a few poems, I've done a few, but it just seemed to be that I started writing some and then more and more kept flowing, and it just seemed to be a good way of, I think, getting into the thing. And when you're trying to write a poem, it's funny, really, because of the form of the poem itself and the rhymes and things like that, it makes you think, what word would describe that better? And you actually come up with other ideas and you think, actually, that's a really, it's enlightening. It's a different angle on the thing that you hadn't actually thought of yourself. But the one I was thinking of when you said about the opportunity it gave me, I was just reading a little extract from a poem that I called Facing the Axe. So if you've worked for one employer the last 30 years and more, when a confidential letter comes a-crashing through your door, take care it's just the letter that falls crumpled to the floor. And that's just an extract from that poem. It does make it sound...
And is that how you found out?
Not really. I'm using poetic license,
okay,
as
right,
usual.
Okay.
And it was optional. I could have refused, but it was one of these situations where they were giving me the equivalent of about a year and a half's money. Take it or leave it, and I thought you can't leave that.
You started at Tilbury, and then you got straight onto a ferry. The poem I like, and I'm going to read this one, half of it. Friends came across to Gravesend for a coffee and a chat, but I had to get my rucksack on, and farewell to all that. Eloise said she'd do a mile to get me on my feet, then Gabby walked another six to be sure I didn't cheat. Is that your granddaughter?
Eloise is my granddaughter,
right,
Gabby's a friend.
Okay.
You can see my granddaughter in the photo.
Yeah,
actually,
I can, and that's lovely. I think it's a nice idea that you've put photographs virtually on every page to illustrate your journey. So you started at Tilbury, you got across on the Gravesend ferry. First of all, is it really difficult? Is there a lot of planning involved to actually walk around the coastline? Because I'm sure there's bits of it you can't actually do.
It could be difficult if you tried to plan it all.
You're not walking on the beach all the time, are you?
No, you can't do that. And there's quite a few areas where it's either private land, people have built their houses or something like that. It can be very frustrating where you're walking on a beautiful path and then you've got one person who's basically stolen the footpath to extend their house on, and you have to walk miles inland or find another route, or if you can sort of scramble down rocks or whatever, and then after 50 yards you're back on the coast again, you know, once you've done your 2 mile detour. So that can be very frustrating, but I think the way that I solved that really was to do very little actual planning. I mean, some people have said to me, well, did you book B&Bs all the way round, you know, for 300 yeah. days? And obviously when you think about the logistic of that straight away, it means as soon if you had one day's delay,
yeah.
you'd have to rebook them all.
Yeah, exactly.
Or if you're doing well, you'd have to, you know, yeah. you'd have to keep stopping because you've booked accommodation and you can't really change it. So I think the kind of planning that I did is summed up again in one of the poems. August 1st of 2012, I headed out the door. The way I guess I must have done 10,000 times or more, but never such a sketchy plan nor major task before. Find the sea, turn right or left, then walk the GB shore. And that's trying to say that, yeah, I could have turned left or right. If you're walking the whole way round, it doesn't, you know, you could say it doesn't matter which way you go. But there was a bit of thinking about that to, you know, I wanted to make sure that I started really with the south because it was 1st of August, and it'd be nice and sunny while I did that area.
Now, you took a break along the route for the winter, didn't you? Because, you yeah. wouldn't be able to raise much money because nobody around.
That's right,
and
yeah.
And be a bit
yeah.
miserable.
It would be very, very miserable. Very, long days, long nights, short days. So your walking was curtailed. And also things like buses and routes like that, they all start to close and the camping sites close. What I did after a couple of months was I bought a camper van. The first 2 months I spent using B&Bs and friends' homes, and actually yeah. the first four or five nights I actually came back home.
Oh, right, okay.
Used trains and things to get back home for the first few nights, which again seems a bit odd, you might say. But after 2 months all the campsites started to close. So what we did then was buy a camper van, and that solved a lot of problems while my wife was with me for about 20% of the time. But the other 80%, I had to find.
Keep coming back to it.
Yeah, I had to. Yeah, by the time you walk 15 miles a day or something like that, and then you're 15 miles from the van.
Exactly.
Ah, what do I do now?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the books, well, there's going to be three because this only covers up to North Wales, is it?
I'm hoping it's going to be three. It basically covers up to Dovey Junction, which is in North Wales. So basically this one goes from Tilbury, round the coast, through Dover and all that, through South West Coast Path, then into Wales, and finishes at the Dovey Junction, which is end of November 2012. And then I have 3 months off, and then the question is, do I continue? So books two and three, there's a hint in there that I may have.
What was it on day two or day three? Did it hit you? What am I doing? My feet are aching already. The backs of my ankles are hurting. I've got to go around the whole country. Have I made a mistake here?
I think it was, and that I think does come out in the early part of the book, and certainly some people have said to me, you know, that the first probably 20 pages, I do, I suppose, get a bit down because it does hit me that, as you say, after about 3 days, I'm thinking, oh, I've done 3 days, I'm looking at possibly doing 300, that's 1%. But then I had, I think I got into the walk really, and I started to relax into the pace and the rhythm of life.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I was just listening to you talking about all the travel, all the problems you've got there.
Yeah.
And certainly I didn't have that kind of problem, shall we say. So part of the challenge, because I said I was a lecturer, and I used to lecture on decision-making, problem-solving and leadership, that kind of thing. So part of the interest here was, how would I cope in a situation like this? And ironically, I thought I would be really good at the logistics and the management side, if you like, because that's what I was a lecturer in. And I thought the sides that I'd probably have troubles with was the physical side, because I'm not particularly sporty in any way. And I thought I might have problems with what I call the spiritual side or the emotional side. Mm. Would I be able to keep going? Would I get lonely and all that kind of stuff? And what it turned out was almost exactly the opposite. The physical side, I didn't really have that many. I didn't have any blisters at all, which was amazing. And I just seemed to sort of fit. The few days before I started walking, I had all sorts of twinges and aches and pains. I think that was my body trying to tell me, no, don't do it, you're mad. And then, but I ended up losing about 24 pounds, and he says stones, 24 pounds without trying.
Wow, you're a big man.
Eating everything I could. And the spiritual side, mainly, you know, once I got over this initial getting into it, spiritually, most of the time it was fine. And I think I did have some downs. The next main one I had was towards the end of October, when the evenings were going to draw in. Obviously, they were drawing in, and then the clocks were going to go back. Mm. I was really concerned that the days were going to be really short. I wouldn't have enough time to keep walking and all that kind of stuff. And then I actually got an email from someone I didn't know, but it was the mother of someone I'd met on a conference I went on once, and she offered me bed and breakfast for 4 nights. Her husband would walk with me for 5 days. He knew all the routes. This was the last 5 days of my walk.
Oh, that's lovely.
And when I got there, it was just fantastic. But the guy walked all day with me and then said, "You go off and have a shower while I clean your boots." I couldn't believe it.
Wow,
first time my boots have been clean. And then they made dinner. And then they put out all this stuff on tables for me to make my own breakfast and, sorry, my own sandwiches for the next day. And they were just brilliant. And every night they watched Strictly on the telly, all the things like that. And they obviously knew better than the judges and so on. And it was just, they treated me, it was fantastic. They treated me just like their son.
Fantastic. Yeah. Right, quick break, and then we'll be back to find out what happened in part two.
Or visit fcilondon.co.uk.
Talking to John Raymond this morning about his walk around Britain, and book one is in the bookshops now. And John, what would you say was the high and what was the low of this first leg of your journey?
Wow, the high. I think the real high that I look back on, I suppose most of all, was a bit that I call the Angel of Nos Mayo. There's a poem, obviously, in the book about that and some photos. But basically, I'd had a really terrible day where it had started where I couldn't get across a river because the timings of the tides were the low tide when the stepping stones were clear was either at 4 in the morning or at 5 in the afternoon, and it was fairly near it was 5 miles into the day's walk, but I had about another 15 to do after that, so I couldn't really wait until 5 in the afternoon to cross this thing. But I had all sorts of problems around that. I managed to cope with that, got to the other side of that river, and then amazingly I realised I got another river to cross that day. Oh. And I hadn't even spotted that in advance, which is just astonishing. It sort of sums up the lack of planning and mental side that I was suffering from. But I did another 9 miles, got to that river, and I'd worked out that there was a ferry that closed at 4 o'clock, and I got there at 5 o'clock. I managed to be in touch with a ferryman, and I said to him, this was at 5 to 4, I'd said to him, "Oh, hi, is that the ferryman?" He said, "Yes, for the next 5 minutes." So I knew I wasn't going to get any joy there. But when I walked down into the town of, the village of Nos Mayo, there were three ladies just closing a cream tea shop, and I asked them if there was any way of getting across. And at first they said no, but I did a lot of telling them about my walk and things like that. And eventually one of them said she'd take me across in her boat. So I thought, oh, that's fantastic. You know, I'll be across the other side in 2 seconds and I can get on my way. And then she led me down the path down to the river, and it turned out it was a rowing boat.
Wow.
And she proceeded to row back up to the crossing point and across the river. Must have taken half an hour. And it was just absolutely fantastic. It was beginning to be a bit like dusk, and the smoke was going up out of the chimneys, and it was a beautiful day, and there's no one else on the river, and it was silent and perfect. And I fell in love immediately, obviously. And it was just, that was probably the highlight. Someone had actually given all that time and effort, and obviously she dropped me off, and then had probably an hour's rowing back.
And of course, to cross these rivers, then it was not worth going all the way up to the nearest crossing, to the nearest road bridge, and then back down again.
I think that would have been about 10 miles each way.
Fair enough. Right, how difficult was it to get this book done?
It was pretty tough. In that, obviously, the poems, I suppose, was the hardest part. I've got the photos, as you said. There's photos all the way through it, each page more or less. I'd got all those because they're all ones I actually took at the time on the walk. So I'd done all those. It worked out that I'd got a total of about 40,000 photos.
Oh my word.
So it took weeks just going through those and trying to pick which ones were good and so on. But then I'd also went, while I'd been on the walk, I'd been blogging on Facebook basically every day. So what I did was download all of those to help jog my memory. And then it was a case really of going through day by day almost, or, you know, in an order,
yeah,
and thinking about poems. And some of the poems just flowed immediately and it was over almost as soon as I was thinking. Other ones, it took a few days to just get them in place. But it was, again, it's almost like the writing the book was another challenge almost as big as doing the walk.
Now, I know it's for sale in wonderful 80-year-old Swan Books in Upminster.
It is indeed on sale in Swan Books.
The book
yes.
is called Coastlines. It's by John Raymond. Where else can we get it?
You can get it through Amazon.
Okay.
And you can get, you know, all the usual places, and any good bookshop will order it for you, or people could even get it directly from me if that's allowed.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. How do they do that?
Can I give out my
yeah,
email
absolutely.
Address? That's
yeah,
right.
Of course you yes. can if you want to, yeah.
It's johnraymond1@gmail.com. And I can give you my mobile number.
No, don't do that.
No, don't give you my mobile
no,
number.
No, don't give my mobile phone. John, thank you very much for coming in. I'd love to talk to you for longer, and we will do, because I know you're going to try hard and get this book too done, and I want to hear about the rest of your journey. Thank you so
Thanks
much for
much,
coming
Mike.
In today.
Thank
and
you.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank
Cheers.
You, my friend.